B-Pod Studios.
Gasper and Murray have scorching hot takes. Twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bays. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town things. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper
and Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper and Murray here at 98.5, the Sports Hub. No Chris Gasper today, as Chris is off in parts unknown. So you have me, Jim Murray, alongside three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson. We're back together again. It's like we never even left, Ted, as you and I did Felger and Mazz yesterday.
Feels like that, buddy.
A little bit of tough sledding getting in here this morning?
Yeah, it wasn't fun. I barely got here on time, but thankfully I did. Route 3 can go screw itself. It's just one of the worst driving experiences. Sean Silver's shaking his head. He feels my pain. But, something happened to me this morning that you just kind of – I feel like this happens to me a lot, and I'm just curious to get y'all's thoughts if it's something that happens to you ever. I would consider myself a good driver. Like I've got in one accident many, many years ago, and it was because it was icy at the University of Colorado, and my brakes locked up, and I went through a stop sign and hit a car. But
the ABS didn't work. The ABS brakes didn't work. It happens.
Exactly. Yeah. So we've kind of maybe all been there on the black ice. But the point is, I'm a good driver. Sometimes though, you know, I might do something while I'm driving to like completely set somebody off and not even know it. Like I'm just sitting there driving on Route 3, and all of a sudden I've got about a two car kind of space between me and the next car in front of me. So it's probably like two car lengths in between me and the car in front of me, and this car behind me comes up, goes right by me. This lady gives me the double birds and then cuts right in front of me. Like there's barely enough room. I mean, at that time, I was like maybe one car. I mean, literally like one car. Like she just crams right in front of me, between me and the car in front of me, and like slams on her brakes. So I got to stay on. And I'm like, I had no idea what I did to upset this lady. No clue.
It sounds like she was the aggressor here. If she's giving you the double birds, he didn't do anything. Like sometimes these things, you know, if you do something you don't know and someone comes in front of you, they don't give you the double birds. I think if you pull up beside them and just kind of give them a wave like a hey, my bad,
yeah,
you can calm the situation down. But
I don't even know what it was that I did.
She's the clear aggressor. Did you do anything to did you have a rebuttal?
I never saw her again. She was, you know, and it's one of those deals, like, it depends what kind of mood I'm in. I'm like, you know, you could have a little bit of fun with it. Sometimes I will have a little bit of fun with that. But, you know, where I'll just, you know, make sure they see you, you know, and I'll smile at them. And I'll ask them if they want to pull over and talk about it. Which, you know, these things can turn out pretty bad. I mean, there's some bad cases of road rage. But I was excited to come in to work with you today.
You got
Saturday
the sting.
Afternoon.
Now you're pissed.
And now it's like, really, lady? I have no clue what it was that I did to upset. I'm sorry I offended you. But there's just, some people are just teed up when they're driving. It's just, it's unfortunate, man.
Yeah.
Everybody just needs to take a deep breath.
I have been one of those people in the past. I got the sting just hearing that story because she was the clear aggressor there. Gives you the double bird for no reason. And I was hoping you were going to say you like chased her down or ran her off the road. Like that would be my natural reaction. But now, like as more of an adult with things to lose in terms of, you know, my life, this cushy job, like I have to take the deep breath and keep myself in check. But I can tell you, Ted, I'm not proud of it. I've lost my license twice in my past because of like road rage incidents, essentially, and like aggressive driving. Never any DUIs or anything like that. I'm at least smarter than that. But like I've unfortunately treated the roads like they're mine, like they're for far too long. I used to purposely keep like a cup full of pennies to essentially use as shrapnel if I got cut off and got angry to throw those. Oh no, all bad, Ted. What? All bad.
Is there something like that was going on in your life, like that was just like?
Yes.
So I sit here and I say, here's this lady. Just I don't know what it was that I did to her, but she was so upset that she had to basically almost, you know. Risk getting in another wreck with me by cutting me off like she did. And I'm just thinking to myself, I took a breath. I was like, who knows what just happened to her. Maybe she just found out some bad news.
Right.
Maybe something is going on in her life that is just become unmanageable. And whatever it was that I did, she just, it just lit off something in her. So I, you know, those are the thoughts that, that's how I get myself calmed down. It's like, you know what, this, something's going on with this lady that I have no idea. It's maybe, and so I'm wondering, was there something stressor going on in your life at these moments that you're just like, that was the final straw, somebody cutting you off?
Yeah, so I'm going back to when all that those kind of things happen. I'm going back about 20 years, and when I think about it, it's a, you know, look at you, Junior Freud over here, you nailed it. Like, you know, when I think about that, I was in my early 20s, my mom passed prematurely, mad at the world, not a lot of direction, grew up basically being influenced by my dad's crazy angry driving. So it was like a culmination of all of those things. So my natural reaction was just, you know, pitch black, like fury. And so,
Like shark's eyes going back your head when you attack.
Oh, no. And let me tell you, just there is something funny that comes from this is when you go to those driver re-education classes, because they hold them on Saturdays and they're like 8 hours long. They're like complete day ruiners. It's a classroom full of just angry people that will not admit their fault, I being one of them as well. But, you know, you'd hear someone's story because they treat you like five-year-olds, and rightfully so, when you go to these classes. And it was usually like a nice woman that holds them that has to, like, you know, deal with these lunatics that are sitting there. Like, everyone has a story, and you could tell everyone's like, well, at least I'm not as bad as that guy. And it would be just the craziest stuff, like someone pulling a knife on someone, someone pulling a gun on someone, running people off the road, getting fights with cops. So I remember sitting there one of those times, I'm like, well, I'm not as bad as these people. But everyone's thinking that.
You're
you're
part in it.
It always, these type of things always stem from, you never know what's going on in someone's life.
Yeah.
You know, and so, I try to keep that in check. Anytime I go to a restaurant, you get bad service. I try to always leave 20% because you never know. If you get bad service, who knows? Someone might have just got divorced. They might have gotten a fight. They might have gotten fired from their regular job. You never know.
Okay, so we're good. So if you're listening out there, lady, I apologize. I hope everything is good in your life, and I'm sorry, you know, that I obviously offended you by my driving today.
Better man than me, Ted. Because again, I got the sting hearing that again, but I have to take the deep breath, and you know, and now I'd be a bit more mature about this.
Yeah, you're having a recall when I'm talking.
Oh,
talking
big
about
time.
This driver's education class. I mean, was it literally like the most basic common sense kind of like class? Like, I mean, did you learn anything really other than just, you know, get mad, you know, just road rage is bad and it can lead to this?
Yeah, it's funny you say, because it is the most basic stuff, because I remember her asking us collectively, do you listen to aggressive music? And you see the hands all go up, myself included. I'm like, yeah, I listen to like Slayer. There was at that point, I'm like, I listen to like the most aggressive stuff when I drive that would definitely, you know, have me go as fast as I possibly can and drive like I'm in Fast and the Furious. And she'd be like, well, it's probably a better way to go about it if you don't listen to that kind of music. Maybe try classical. We're like, oh, okay. Like, that's a classroom funny. Full of dummies. I'll tell you, it's the comedy of going to one of those classes. I did ultimately learn from that because I never really wanted to have to go back to that. And I did it twice.
Yeah.
Twice. Okay, I know we're supposed to be sports.
All right, better, though.
What? No, you should. You sound like you're a little bit more calm, too, and I like that. And so if you're going to scratch that itch, let me do this.
Got it.
Before we go all sports in your ass, I have to just talk about the breaking news this morning about that dirtbag Jeffrey Epstein, the rich a-hole who was indicted on sex trafficking charges last month, pedophile. He committed suicide at a Manhattan jail this morning. It's all I want to talk about, if I'm being honest. Suicide my ass. So you didn't know about this, Ted?
No.
Oh, yeah, no. Committed suicide.
This is the first I've heard of it.
Yeah, committed suicide. Do you think he committed suicide?
No.
Thank you. All across the world, rich, powerful a-holes, popping bottles, making phone calls, cackling, sitting back, bah-ha-ha, we won. We got him. Because now Epstein can't give him up at a trial. You know it. I know it. Everyone knows it. Suicide? Banana land. It's not a suicide. It's some D'Angelo Barksdale being strangled in the library to make it look like a suicide for Stringer Bell type stuff. That's what happened. Jeffrey Epstein hanging himself. He attempted it like a week ago. It's a federal prison. He's on a 24/7 suicide watch. All objects that could have been used would have been removed. He's on closed circuit TV. The lights are on, but nothing to see here. Everyone move along, please. Oh, God, I saw this morning. Like, oh, give me a break. This is ridiculous. And in a lot of ways, you know what? Here's how I know I'm a radio professional, because I can actually swing this into sports. If for anyone that actually would buy this and take it as a suicide, it's like how a lot of people around here are treating the Tom Brady contract extension. Nothing to see here. No.
Complete denial.
You're all making stuff up. Retiring a Patriot. He's never going to play for another team. Are you so sure about that? Because the more that this thing unfolds and we know about it, it's not an extension. They're two ghost years. He got a pay bump for 2019. It's not an extension. There's a chance he may not retire as a Patriot, but you just want to ignore it because you don't like the inconvenient truth of this contract. He's a free agent for the first time in his career. And you know who actually feels this way, that it could end ugly? The guy who's normally here, Chris Casper. His story in the Globe yesterday, I feel like it's buried. You got to really search around for it in the Globe, and unless you're like old and, you know, still buy the paper. He has a column. Here's the deal. Tom Brady's Patriot days could be over after this season. And I feel like this is also informed opinion from Chris, who always wants to act like he's not close to the Brady camp, but he is. And he starts this column off, Ted, by saying, anyone who thinks the Tom Brady contract extension, putting it in quotes, much like I would put suicide for Jeffrey Epstein, in quotes, this discussion is much ado about nothing and that he'll automatically be back in Foxborough in 2020, probably also believe that Kyrie Irving was re-signing with the Celtics simply because he pledged that last October. This feels informed to me, and in fact, Chris talked a bit about this and what he wrote in the column, and we'll go through this over the next hour or so. When he did the Patriots pregame show with Mark the Beetle Bertrand ahead of their preseason game against Detroit on Thursday.
When you look at this contract that they did, and again, you can't call it an extension because those are ghost years there. I mean, to me, I think we were all expecting any contract Brady signed to give you a measure of certainty about the future. I feel like this contract does a complete opposite, Mark. I feel like it makes everything uncertain, and I'm sorry. Like, anybody who's out there trying to say this is standard operating procedure, business as usual for Brady and the Patriots, no, it's not. This is a different situation, and I can speak to this on my end as a reporter. I think the tone and tenor have changed on both sides in terms of things that before you looked at and said, okay, these are solemn declarations. Now it's like, well, the intention is this. You know, the intention is for Tom to play till 45. The intention is for him to end his career as a Patriot. Whereas before you looked at least him ending his career as a Patriot, like that was lock, stock, and barrel. And I know Tom Curran has said that Tom was looking for a multi-year deal. He obviously didn't get that. And I almost feel like, Mark, as a concession to not giving him the multi-year deal, they said, well, we won't franchise tag you. We won't trade you. And those are the concessions that they made to him in lieu of sort of extra years on that deal.
Yeah, we know about the concession, at least one of those. And this is where he threw this in, and he talked about it on NBC Sports Boston that night, too. And I hadn't heard the trade thing. We know, okay, we're not going to actually put the franchise tag on you, but we won't trade you? We won't trade you. I hadn't heard that until I heard Chris talk about it, which he also mentions in his column as well. Does Brady have some kind of fear about being traded by Bill Belichick as well?
Forgive my ignorance, but is this was negotiated in there, in the contract?
That's what Chris makes it sound like. That's, again, I believe this is informed opinion
okay.
from Chris.
Yeah, that's shocking, but it's to some degree. But then when you kind of look at who you're dealing with Bill Belichick, who contemplated trading Gronk last year. He's traded popular players like Mike Vrabel, Richard Seymour, Jamie Collins. And so, you know, I know Tom Brady's in another class all of itself, but it just seems like Bill has been trying to push Tom out the door for a while, right? I mean, and so, Tom knows Bill better than anybody. And you know the nature of the man. And the nature of the man is he is an emotionless kind of robot who makes decisions not based on emotion and for who, you know, in feelings. It's based on what he thinks is best for the team. And so if he feels like it's best for the team to get rid of Tom, then he'll do it at the end of the day. You know, my feeling is that Robert Kraft will have some say in that. And so that's one player where you go, well, the owner's going to step in and have, you know, influence on that decision from Bill for sure.
And I'm sure that some of the success or a lot of the success for this franchise over the last 20 years has to do with the cold business-like manner that Bill goes about this. But some guys, I don't know, you can't treat like a cog and like they're, you know, eminently replaceable, you know? Like, so in Tom Brady's case, I think with everything that he's accomplished and that he's still playing at a high level, I'd like to think that they would have given him those years. But essentially, Ted, this now feels like they're treating this as a prove-it-to-me year for Tom Brady at 42.
Yeah, big time. Oh, absolutely. And the one thing I think that I feel like goes on through Bill Belichick's mind with this, Jim, is I think Bill wants to really more than Tom wants to kind of prove that he can win without Bill. I think Bill wants to prove that he can win without Tom. I just really think – and Bill's 67 years old, I believe, somewhere around there. I think he's the second oldest head coach in the league behind Pete Carroll. He doesn't maybe want to coach that much longer. And so he wants to have some years that he can coach without Tom Brady, I think, being his quarterback. And so it's going to be fascinating to see how this season goes. It really is, because how are these two going to get along? Or is there going to be tension that we're going to find out behind the scenes? So I'm just really looking forward to the season from that standpoint.
Yeah, I want to go through more Chris's column here, because again, it's not an extension. We shouldn't be talking about it as an extension. I think, I don't know, for the most part, I think people have been pretty rational about this, but there's still others like, you know what you're talking about, it's fake. No, he's extended here. No, he got a pay bump for 2019, mm-hmm. and he's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. And even if it's a remote possibility, he could go to another team. If he still wants to play and doesn't want to retire and still has something to prove because he wants to continue to promote the TB12 method and his training methods and play to 45, and they don't want to match that money, if it's like $35 million from another team, he's going to go somewhere else. So I want to go through more of Chris's column. We'll get into the preseason game on Thursday night. I know you have some thoughts on that, how Jarrett Stidham looked, how the defense looked with 9 sacks. A lot to get to here today on Gasper Murray with Ted Johnson on 98.5 of Sports Hub.
You're listening to Gasper and Murray.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's a unique situation I'm in, you know. I'm 20th year with the same team and, you know, be 42 years old. So pretty much uncharted territory, I think, for everybody. And, you know, I'm going to go out there and do the best I can this year and see what happens.
Uncharted territory. That's Tom Brady talking about his fake contract extension after that got signed late last week. It's just a pay bump for 2019. It's not an extension. And he sounded like
he said as much, basically.
Yeah, Ted. It's Ted Johnson in for Chris Gasper today. Gasper Murray here on the Sports Hub. He made it sound like a guy who wasn't all that thrilled. Like, okay, I got my pay bump. Now I'm being paid what I should be being paid, and you know, what Drew Brees has been getting paid, like, you know, up to now $25 million for 2019. But beyond that, I think he wanted the years. And I think he's right to maybe be feeling a little bit miffed about not getting the security from this team.
Yeah, I think just basically he's at his tipping point, Jim. I think he's taken a lot of deals that my feeling is that he wasn't happy with. I think a lot of guys have. I think a lot of guys kind of just swallow that, their pride, when it comes to negotiating with the Patriots, because it's never, a lot of times, it's never what you think you're worth, and you do it anyway. Why? Because you want to be part of something great. And so I think they know that, and it's just interesting to see Tom finally kind of showing maybe a little bit of pushback and showing some backbone and saying, you know what, enough is enough. And so, you know, I'm going to get it put in the contract. If you're giving me an $8 million bump, great, but you don't want to commit to me long term, then I want to be able to go where I want to go after this season. And it's a game of chicken. It really is. And it's fascinating that Tom is going to this place, because you would think that a lot of people would say that he had more leverage earlier in his career. And so you think he maybe would have played hardball earlier in his career. But, you know, for whatever reason, he never felt good enough to do that, or confident enough to do that, or just wasn't comfortable calling their bluff on that. So we always kind of played along and signed these deals. So I just can't picture him going anywhere else, Jim. I feel like if this truly is his last year with the Patriots, then he's going to retire. I can't see him starting somewhere else, a new system, a new coach. You know, he knows the best chance for him to succeed is going to be on this team. And I just think it would be remarkable to see him somewhere else. I think it would just be kind of fun to see how he does somewhere else. I just, in my mind, can't picture it. But I think putting the house on the market, that sends a message. That's another way of communicating to the Patriots, like, I'm dead serious about this.
It's like the middle finger you got from the lady that cut you off.
That's exactly what it is. And we talked about this yesterday, where I said, you know what, wow, it was kind of interesting that the house went on the market on a public website for literally, I think it was Thursday morning the story came out, for like an hour, and then was taken off. Well, why was it even on? Like, did they put it on there thinking that nobody was going to notice? I mean, hell.
And that got picked up. It felt like within an hour.
So the story came out. Everybody's talking about it. Oh, let's take it off. But you wonder if that was a desired defect from the Brady camp. Like, hey, let's just put this on the market. Everybody sees. So everybody kind of knows. Like, he's basically telling us what's going on without telling us. When he talks about, you know, hell, this is, you know, it's really a one-year deal, or, you know, it is what it is. And putting the house up on the market for just 1 hour and then taking it off on the website, that's his way of kind of painting the picture and dropping crumbs for all of us to pick up. And it's pretty clear that he's not happy with how they, you know, how they view him moving forward. He's all right. I'll do one more year and then I'm out of here.
But, so going back to how you feel about it, in that you just can't see, and I think you're like a lot of people, you just can't see Tom Brady playing for another team ever. What if like the winning part of it has been satiated for him? And that was like when you played with him. I remember the 60 Minutes sit down he did. I think it was with Steve Croft, and he was asked, you know, and it used to like make me crazy. Like I would get so hot for this. They're like, "Hey, what's your favorite championship?" And he sits there and looks in the camera and goes, "The next one." It's like, yeah. Oh, I just got a chill even thinking about that. But what if that part's been satiated? Say they even win the Super Bowl this year. It's now 7 for him. He's gone to 10, and it's still about trying to promote the TB12 brand. Okay. He wants to play to 45, and. It, because the number comes in from another team, they call them at 401, the Brady camp, and say, hey, we'll offer you $35 million guaranteed. He goes back to the Crafts. He says, hey, you've got first right of refusal. They've offered me 35, say the Rams, Bears, whoever. They look at it and say, like, and Belichick's saying, I'm not going to pay a 43-year-old quarterback that. No. Do you think he walks then? Because if it's not so much about winning but about promoting his brand, this is why I don't think he walks away. I really do think he wants to play a few more years.
It's you know what? Maybe, and you might be right. You know, I know that's a huge narrative here is the TB brand and the TB12 method and promoting that, and the only way maybe to, like, it sounds like to validate the method, he has to play to always 45 because that's the number he's put out there. Whew, man, that's a lot of pressure. You know what, Jim? If it's so much, if football's so damn hard, if you're doing it to promote an off the field venture and endeavor, okay, good luck with that. I mean, it's just I don't know how your heart's in it. I don't know how you can give it your all, but maybe that's if that's what he's doing, then I could maybe see him going somewhere else and maybe playing. It's just. It's shocking to me because he's so competitive that the only thing I know of Tom Brady that's the most important thing to him is winning. Don't you think it would matter too, guys, like how it looks at the end? I've said this. I think so many of us want to go out like kind of on top, and the last impression means something. Like, you know, Peyton Manning. His last year, he won a Super Bowl, but man, he was
a sidecar to that defense.
Quarterback in the NFL that year. Yeah. Like the stats back it up. So I just feel like Tom's got a lot of pride, and I just think, man, how he goes out is going to be important to him. So again, I would be shocked if he went and played somewhere else. But when you bring up the fact that maybe it's just truly to kind of validate the TB12 method. By the way, total side. I don't even get sidetracked. Does anybody really know what the essence of the TB12 method is? Like, I hear about it all the time. I've never really done any research on it, but I feel like I would know kind of just by hearing people talk about it that it's based on this or that. It's not, is it? It's a bunch of different things, right?
Yeah, it's bands and we're not using weights. It's a lot of water. Yeah. I mean, and it's all very, very expensive. I know that too. So it's a business, maybe more than a lifestyle.
Yeah, right.
It sounds like, and it feels like, it's pretty important to him. It's one of the reasons I do think he keeps playing, whether that's here or somewhere else. 617-779-0985. Got a couple open lines. You want to join us, talk about the Brady contract. And I want to dive a little bit more into Chris Gasper's column, which dropped yesterday. Tom Brady Patriot days could be over after this season. It's a harsh reality for a lot of people, but I get it. Like, no. Nothing to see here. No. Kind of just like the Jeffrey Epstein suicide, as I use air quotes here. Suicide. All right, here is Sean Silver to get you caught up with the Sports Hub headlines, give you last night's Red Sox score and more here, and then we'll be back with you on Gasper Murray with Ted Johnson.
98.5, the Sports Hub. This is Gasper and Murray.
You will listen.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tom Brady needs Bill Belichick more than Bill Belichick needs Tom Brady. He knows that. There's no way Tom is going anywhere. He will, at the end of the day, take whatever salary they give him, within reason, because he knows to build on his legacy and to be called the GOAT, the greatest of all time, he needs Bill Belichick and the way he coaches and his style. For him to be able to have the success he has, it's more important for Tom to be attached to Bill than it is for Bill to be attached to Tom.
So that was from a couple of Fridays ago. Ted Johnson, who's in for Chris Gasper today here on Gasper Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub. Tom needs Bill more than Bill needs Tom. And I'll tell you, well, look, it's one preseason game. You take it with a grain of salt, but 31-3 over the Detroit Lions on Thursday night. The kid looked pretty good. Jared Stidham looked pretty good. So I do think, you know, the one thing I would agree with you on this, Ted, is that I think it's important for Bill and his legacy to try to win another championship with another quarterback. Like, that's the last pelt he has to collect. I mean, his legacy's already, I think it's already cemented. He's maybe the greatest coach of all time, or, you know, he's in that conversation in top two, top three. But I think that is important to him because it probably miffs him a little bit. It's like, okay, people think he's more important than me. Like, all right. Like, he does get the best out of, you know, middling players sometimes. Mm-hmm. And the way that he's built this and the sustainability over the last 20 years, it's ridiculous. But, I don't know, in recent years, I think Brady is also very important. I think if he had the tools and is still a really good offense coordinator, he could maybe do it somewhere else if he's playing at a high level. Mm-hmm. But it does feel like, you know, at the end of this coming season, it's going to get real interesting. I wanted to read a little bit more from Chris Gasper's column, which posted yesterday in the Boston Globe. Tom Brady Patriot days could be over after this season. No, nothing to see here. No, you know what you're talking about. It's an extension. Uh-huh, is it? From his column, the pay raise distracts from the real significant part of the pact. Whenever the idea of Brady playing for another team was raised, the dismissive response was that Patriots owner Robert Kraft would franchise tag Brady before ever letting him decamp Fort Foxborough. So don't waste your breath. So much for that. The Patriots have pledged not to franchise Brady, and there's a provision in this new contract that prohibits them from doing so. If Brady wants to go or feels underappreciated or undervalued, he can. There's nothing the Patriots can do about it. That's the most noteworthy part of this new contract. The Patriots surrendered the one thing they value most: control. It is a concession, but for what reason? Ask yourself, who wanted that put there? It feels certain Brady gets to call his own shots and how and when his Patriots career is concluded. If you're an optimist, the idea of this contract is it's designed to spur a conversation after this season to reassess and reset Brady's value. And this is my thing. Like, you know, it doesn't feel like there's a lot of weapons for him. He doesn't have Rob Gronkowski again. And Chris goes on to write here, the doomsday scenario is the sides can't agree on a raise for Brady. He hits free agency. He's offered upwards of $30 million per year by an eager suitor. Belichick turns up his nose at the price for a soon-to-be 43-year-old quarterback. Brady either exits stage left to another NFL locale or simply takes his ball and his resistance bands home and retires. Either way, it's over. So it does feel like, no matter what, like this deal, this contract, this pay bump for 2019 and his impending free agency, like this is a tipping point. Like, he's either going to retire, and if that number comes in at a ridiculous $35 million guaranteed, $40 million guaranteed, and just think of the buzz alone. Think of the buzz the Broncos got when they brought in Peyton Manning, when there was a question if he could even play anymore after the neck surgeries and the injuries, and he was able to come back and play, thanks to some help. But if
for four years.
Yeah, but the buzz for the league, and if you're a team, I've mentioned the Tennessee Titans with a connection with Mike Vrabel and Malcolm Butler there, like, that's an irrelevant franchise there is in the NFL. Sure, they've, you know, been a little bit better these last few years, but if they bring in Tom Brady, oh my God, like, you do that even if you don't think he can play all that great anymore.
Yeah, I would throw any kind of money at Tom to look. My feeling is he's gonna have a great year. Like, I just feel like he's poised. He just seems like he is focused, motivated to have a really great 2019. Now, whether or not the stats will back it up, I mean, that's a lot of times that's out of his control. I mean, you know, I think the Patriots were the led or their top five in rush attempts last year. I think they were the third most rushing attempts in the NFL last year. So they're going to run the football. Okay. You know, and the weapons, you know, look, even though the preseason showed that they have maybe some potential at the wide receiver position, let's face it, it's that receiving core and the tight end core is going to be maybe probably the worst he's had in maybe his career here. Yeah. So it's an upward battle for him to really just shine when it comes to the stats. But I think he's going to play well. I don't see any drop off. And if he was to go to free agency and he literally entertained the idea of going somewhere, it would be fascinating to watch. If I'm a coach, yeah, he's 43 years old, okay? Yeah, maybe he's shown signs of decline, but it's Tom freaking Brady. Get him in here. Because you know what it does? It brings instant credibility to your franchise. If you think about when Peyton Manning went to the Broncos, you know, John Elway wasn't really doing all that great there, and hasn't ever since.
Right. Paxton Lynch and some of the other stiffs he's brought in.
He's brought in some horrible. So it brought in a level of professionalism. It raised the profile of the Denver Broncos. They went and won a Super Bowl, with 2015. So it brought buzz. It brought excitement. It brought hope. Even though it was just a short stint there, I mean, I think the same thing could happen for Tom. If he chose to go somewhere else and play, I would give him anything he wanted because of all those reasons and the intangibles and the off-the-field stuff and just his legacy being a part of your franchise. There's a monetary value you put in that as well, besides what he can do for you on the football field.
Jason in the car, you're first up here on Gaspar and Mari this morning. Hey, Jason.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. First of all, Ted, great job on the road rage earlier. I think I might still be chasing that lady down, so and I'm like half your size. So just respectfully disagreeing with Ted, although some of the stuff you just brought up makes a lot of sense, too. I look at, like, Brady's mentality, and I feel like, you know, all right, I'm going to win this year. I'm going to win my seventh. And then why don't I go somewhere else and win an eighth? Like that, I feel like that's how his mentality works. And they'll just retire and just call it the TBFL and cancel football forever. It's the Tom Brady show forever. I mean, that's how I sort of think he looks at it.
It's you know what? It'd be interesting. I mean, it's kind of a – is there anything he can do to maybe change his legacy? I mean, it's already cemented. So all he can do is maybe put cherry on top and go add to it. I mean, I just feel like it's a really risky venture for him is to go to a new city with a new coach, with a new front office, new players, new system, and think he's going to be able to pick up where he left off here. So if he's got that at that age, he still has that desire to start all over again, then good for him. Like I would be cheering for him and I'd be rooting for him. It's just that's a huge mountain to climb at his age. Starting over essentially with all new pieces, and you just don't know the players as intimately as you know all the key figures here.
Yeah.
So it would be, I think, a monumental challenge at that age, going into his 21st year in the NFL
at 43.
If he was to do that, it would be one of the greatest, I think, feats I've ever to go and then go win a Super Bowl for another team at that age. I think it would be one of the greatest sporting
achievements
ever.
Yeah. I would agree with that. Yeah, and completely unprecedented. All right, we have a couple open lines. You want to join us on the Tom Brady conversation, 617-779-0985. We'll get to those calls coming up in our long commercial-free segment. And if you missed this yesterday, Ted Johnson believes the mentality for the 2019 Patriots is going to be different than last year's. He'll explain why. Coming up, long commercial-free segment here, Gaspar Murray with Ted Johnson on 98.5 of Sports Hub.
Stay tuned for more Gaspar and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub. This is Gaspar and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Long commercial-free segment here. Gaspar Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub. Chris out today. Ted Johnson in. That's Sean Silver alongside as well. And you at 617-779-0985. Spent most of this first hour talking about Chris's column in the Boston Globe posted yesterday. Tom Brady Patriot days could be over after this season. Well, I mean, with this new deal, the way it's structured, that's the inconvenient truth, and that's the reality.
There's one aspect that I think is now off the table that has kind of always been talked about regarding Tom's playing here and retiring. When was he going to retire? Because can he retire after he basically, the reports are that he forced Jimmy Garoppolo out? Like, can you force Jimmy Garoppolo out and then, you know, 2 years later retire? Like, I feel like the Patriots, that's done now, right? That whole, like, Tom, if they're playing kind of hardball with Tom and they don't want to give him an extension, then there's really no, if I'm Tom, I'm like, okay, well, I'm not worried about upsetting Robert Kraft anymore about wanting, like, if say he wanted to retire after this year,
mm-hmm.
It seems like the Patriots would be okay with it, right? Where before it was like, you can't force Jimmy Garoppolo out then retire 2 or 3 years later because he was our future, right? Kind of thing. So I feel like that, if I'm Tom, I'm feeling zero guilt about forcing Garoppolo out. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, and he shouldn't feel any guilt about that because he was still playing at a high level. Now, granted, it lit a fire under his ass when they drafted him. And so, ultimately, here's just to circle back with everything and how I feel about this contract, fake extension, just a pay bump. Here's the benefit. I think it lights a fire under his ass this year, too. Mm-hmm. He's bulked up, so he doesn't have as great weapons as he's had in the past, but he knows he's probably going to be taking some hits. But he's rededicated, feels like. Okay, you put on a little bit more muscle. I think it's fair to say that he dipped in terms of his play last year. He's bailing out of throws late in the year. He had the knee issue. But it just wasn't that great of a year for Tom Brady, especially coming off an MVP year. I just feel like this thing, and the way this has gone, and if he feels pissed off about it, it lights a fire under his ass. I wouldn't be shocked if he had 35 touchdowns, 8 picks, and had an MVP-caliber season, even with the lack of weapons, especially if someone like Jacoby Myers and N'Keal Harry end up popping, and they're pretty good wide receivers.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised either. The guy, it's amazing that he gets his dauber up every single year after all these years. And what happens is you need whatever, like maybe the smallest thing to you and me that you would think, well, why, how would that get him motivated? But you'll use whatever morsel of
whatever slight
you can find to get yourself in a frame of mind to go compete at the highest level. And so Tom's very good at doing that. And that's what separates him from maybe the other guys, is that he finds new ways that you and I might be like, really? That's like, he's offended by Jared Stidham? Yeah. Like they brought in Jared Stidham? Yeah. Yeah, and so that's what helps motivate Tom. Then you use whatever it is to motivate you.
All right, Craig and Spencer. Ooh, kinky. You're next here with Jim Murray and Ted Johnson. Hello.
Hey, guys. Just a quick question. Do you think there's any chance that the Jets could structure a deal where after next year they could give Brady a ownership stake, maybe a GM role, if he came and played 1 or 2 years for the Jets, and then Brady could move there with his kids. His kids could go to school in New York City or Connecticut.
Craig, thanks for the call. I get it because, you know, he and Giselle are working at houses in Fairfield County, Greenwich, Connecticut, that the Jets or the Giants. No, the Jets have their quarterback. It's Sam Darnold. He looks pretty good. They just drafted him last year. Like, you don't have to worry about the Jets. I don't even think you have to worry about the Giants. He can go anywhere. He can take the helicopter or get a condo in Tennessee, Chicago. Marshall Hook the last couple of days has said the L.A. Rams. It's teams that you have to look at that are a quarterback away. So if the Bears look at Mitch Trubisky, who I think kind of stinks, this year, it's an assessment year for him. If he's what holds them back, well, the Bears could be on the table. Tennessee Titans have built a pretty good program the last couple of years there with Mike Vrabel. I don't think Marcus Mariota's all that good. This is his last year, ostensibly there. You know, maybe it's Tennessee. Look at a team like that. The Jets wouldn't be that team.
Let me ask you this, Jim. If you're Tom Brady and you're a free agent, what are your like top? What is like the number one or number like two top two things that you're looking for in a team? Like, what are you looking at? Does it have to be in the NFC? Does it have to be in AFC? Does it have to be have a good coach? Is it the one quarterback away where you have a complete team other than the quarterback? Is it ownership? Is it the city? Is it life? Like, what do you think is important to Tom if he was to become a free agent?
I would think it's they're a quarterback away. Really good defense. Like, the Bears would be a perfect landing spot because I think they have the best defense in the league. Trubisky stinks. They do have some decent weapons. They have Matt Nagy, who's this big offensive mind, who would come in under Andy Reid and did a hell of a job last year. Like, a team like that.
Still very important to him, though. Like, so you're saying, like, he's got to win. He's got to go somewhere he feels like the team is constructed in a way that he can still win.
Kind of a soft landing type thing.
Yeah.
How about you?
I would say that, but I feel like it's maybe more about lifestyle, like L.A., New York.
Okay.
But I feel like that's maybe what's important to him at this point is locale, maybe. And then I would say coaching. I think he would have to go somewhere where he respects the coach, that he likes the coach. So
why I said Tennessee.
Yeah.
Mike Vrabel.
Right. Exactly. So I think just who's the coach and does he like the coach? Does he respect the coach? And where's the team located? Is it in a city that he would be comfortable living in?
Tom and Easton, you're next here on the Brady Conversation here with Jim Murray and Ted Johnson. Hey, Tom.
What's up, boys? Great show on a Saturday.
Thanks.
Hey, just calling. I understand why we're having the conversation, but at the same time, I can't believe we're having it. we're not talking about Brett Favre or even Peyton Manning. We're talking about Tom Brady. I can't imagine him going somewhere else. And I just one thing I haven't heard is what is the fan base going to do if he does leave New England and go to another town? I mean, Robert Kraft put a lot of money into that property in Foxborough, and I see a lot of people running to that place with torches if he ever went to another town.
Oh, Tom, it
that is interesting to think about.
People lose their minds. Yeah. I've said, and it's no joke, like for me, because like, my tipping point was the Super Bowl loss to the Eagles. I became more Tom than team at that point. I know, boo, shame on you. You should be rooting for the laundry gym. I get it, but I don't know. Like, he's my favorite professional athlete of all time. I would, until he was done, I would be Tom over team. So wherever he goes, I'd be rooting for that team, and while obviously still keeping an eye on the Patriots. But in a perfect world, this is what I would want, Ted. Tom goes to another team, wins a Super Bowl there. The Patriots tank in 2020. Hashtag win never for Trevor. They draft Trevor Lawrence first overall in 2021. Guess what? You got the next great quarterback for the next decade plus. That's not going to happen because Bill has too much pride. He would never tank and lose games on purpose. But in my crazy head, that's what I'd want.
Yeah, if Tom was to go somewhere else, it would be. I think the sentiment would be that Bill forced him out, that Bill didn't want to pay him ultimately. So he put a limit on what he was willing to pay Tom, and people would think, I just wonder if could Bill's legacy handle it. Like, you know, if Tom leaves, now, in like, say the new quarterback falls on his face and they don't do well, people, I think, after the Malcolm Butler thing, there's other things, you just people go, maybe get tired of Bill and maybe be frustrated with Bill. That's one of those things where you wonder if Bill thinks about that. Like, You're the coach that got rid of the greatest player in the history of this franchise.
Yeah.
And are you okay with that?
I would think he probably would be.
Yeah.
More than anything else. All right, 617-779-0985. You want to join us in the Brady conversation. I do want to touch on Thursday night's preseason game because going into 2019, Ted Johnson believes the mentality for the Patriots is going to be different compared to last year. He'll explain after this. The Sports Hub headlines with Sean Silver here on Gaspar Murray with Ted Johnson, 98.5 of Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.